To kind of think about it and talk about the new year. And I want to start by just asking you a question. If you could have one thing, just one thing, nothing else, just one thing in this new year, what would it be? What is your heart's desire for 2020? What is your heart's desire for 2020? What matters most to you? What's your heart's desire right now, this moment in life? What matters most to you? What do you love more than anything else? You know, I think that most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we'd probably be able to pick something or someone out that we would say, well, I love this, or I love this person more than we love anything or anyone else. It might be our spouse. It might be our children. We might include all of our family. Might be our grandkids. There's just something about a grandchild and the joy that comes and the love that you have for that grandchild. But I think most of us, if we're faced with this question, what is your heart's desire for the year 2020? I think we, given some time to think about it and maybe pray about it, we'd be able to come up with an answer. And we'd be able to come up with an answer. It wouldn't be that boat or that car or that house or that lottery ticket or that job or that piece of property, you know, something material. I think most of us could come up with, we would be able to come up with, well, my heart's desire for 2020 is something that would, might maybe involve our family or our health or the prosperity, you know, of our family. Or might have something have to do with somebody we know or somebody that we love that's sick and having difficulties. And so our heart's desire might be to see that person healthy or to see their problems, their addictions, or their finances, their legal troubles, whatever their problems are. See the problems go away. To see their problems fixed. That person that we love that's really going through a really hard time. And we'd say, well, in this coming year, I want to see their life get elevated and their problems resolved. But maybe there's somebody in your heart, somebody in your mind. Maybe you've got that person that you know needs Jesus. And you think, you know, if my heart's desire more than anything else in this coming year, I just want to see this person saved. I want to see them receive Christ's grace and forgiveness and a personal relationship with Jesus and be born again and regenerated as a new person. Probably almost every one of us, at least while we're sitting here on Sunday morning in a worship service in our church, because, you know, our answer might be different. You know, if somebody asks us this question at another time, another place, at work or with our friends or, you know, out on the golf course or while we're shopping or, you know, over a cup of coffee, we're just out on the street someplace and somebody asks us, what do you want more than anything else in this coming year? Probably most of us, while we're here anyway, would be able to find a heart's desire answer that would sound spiritual, respectable, or good, or spirit, or, you know, righteous in some way. So, what's your heart's desire for the year 2020? Now, let me ask you a second question. Is it your heart's desire to glorify God? Is it your heart's desire to glorify God? I hope as we're gathered here for the purpose of glorifying God in worship, that we're turning our thoughts and our minds and our words and our hearts towards worshiping God, rejoicing in who He is, and being in a heart of gratitude and thankfulness for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, and just knowing that God is marvelous and magnificent and glorious in and of Himself, and we want to worship Him. I hope we understand that this is what we're made for, to glorify God. Are you familiar with Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7? Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Do you hear what the prophet Isaiah is saying there? He's telling us that we are made by God, created by God for His glory, to glorify Him. He didn't create us so that we could live a life of selfishness, or a life that is self-centered, or a life what matters is our own accomplishments. We're created for God's glory. Each and every one of us has been created to become the best that we can be, to reach our fullest God-given potential in order to glorify God. And God, we have abilities and we have talents. We have talents and abilities that God has put in us. And then we have something that the Bible calls spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has imparted to us. And God wants us to use our talents and our abilities and our minds and the physical living of our lives and the spiritual gifts that He's given us to glorify Him. To glorify Him. And so we've been created to glorify God. So I want to suggest to you this morning, I want to say to you this morning, that our heart's desire should be to glorify God in all that we do. To glorify God in all that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whatever you do, do it all for God's glory, even whatever we eat or drink. That almost sounds kind of silly, ridiculous. Think about it. What I eat glorifies God. What I drink, it glorifies God. Even what I eat and drink is supposed to glorify God. But whatever we do, there's some stuff that comes off of that just right immediately. If there are things that we're doing, if there are activities in our life, if there are things that are going on in our life, that there is absolutely no way I could ever do this to the glory of God. In fact, doing this is in direct rebellion to God. And then it's pretty obvious that we shouldn't be doing those things. If the Bible says, whatever you do, do it all for God's glory. But then it also tells us that our work, our jobs, what we do to provide for needs in community and family, the work of our hands, to do it for the glory of God, to do it to the best of our ability, to do it in a way that will glorify God, that the raising of our families, to raise our family in a way that glorifies God, to enter into our marriage relationships in a way that glorifies God, to relate to each other in the church in a way that glorifies God, to get along with our fellow man in a way that glorifies God. So that's our purpose, that's our mission, to glorify God. The purpose statement of El Dorado First Baptist Church is to glorify God by touching lives, inspiring hope, and equipping believers. To glorify God by touching lives, inspiring hope, and equipping believers. And the main point of that is to glorify God. We want to touch lives with the love of Jesus Christ, impact lives for the love of Jesus Christ, with the love of Jesus Christ for God's glory. We want to inspire hope by sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that He's the Son of God, that He died on the cross, that He rose again, also that we can receive grace and forgiveness and have a personal relationship with God. We want to do that to glorify God. And we want to equip believers to carry out the Great Commission of making disciples. We want to do that to glorify God. Psalms 37, verse 4, says, "Delight in the Lord, and He will give us the desires of our heart." Delight in the Lord, and God promises to give us the desires of our heart. Now, that doesn't mean these material desires, because these things we see in the world that we wish we had, because if we delight in God and the desire of our heart is to glorify God, the things of this world grow very dim. And the desires of our heart begin to become desires of the kingdom, that God will be glorified. So each and every one of us, every one of us should be in a growing relationship with Jesus. Now, there may be some of us here today who aren't in a relationship with Jesus. We've not ever trusted Christ. We've not ever repented of our sins. We've not ever committed our life to Him. But if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, you should be. You should be. And I pray that you would do that today, that you'd enter, that you would repent and trust Christ and give Him your life today. The rest of you who are here that are already in a relationship with Jesus, it needs to be a growing relationship with Jesus, doesn't it? And our relationship with Christ is supposed to be a journey. We've not yet arrived, but we're on the way. And so with these two questions, what's your heart's desire for 2020? And is your heart's desire to glorify God? I want to help you out a little bit, and I want to provide some direction for our church for the year 2020. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to look at this, and we're going to see in here two goals, two very important goals that are a part of this ongoing spiritual journey of growing spiritually in Christ. And a lot of times when we think about growing spiritually, we think in terms of, well, I need to pray more. And if I'm praying more, if I pray more this year than I did last year, I've grown spiritually. If I read and study my Bible more this year than I did last year, I'm growing spiritually. If I get intentional in a ministry of some kind, or if I become more responsible and faithful in my church family and in worship and in being involved and being here and being a part, I've grown spiritually. But you know that the Bible says that. It says, even if we speak with the tongues of angels, but we do it without love, it's just noise. I think there are things that we sometimes chalk down in as spiritual disciplines that if we just do the spiritual disciplines, I'm going to grow spiritually. But there's something that's more important than that. And I want us to look at it. And we're going to see it here in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. To love God and to love people. Two goals for a new year. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is out here. He's in the the community, and he's interacting with the people, and he's teaching, and he's talking, and people are coming to him, and they're asking him questions. And on this day, it's the Pharisees, and they ask him a question that was a very common question that was often discussed and debated among the scribes and the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders and the religious people of Jesus' day. Because they were very big into the law and into the commandments, and there were lots of them, both in the Word of God, and they had added a tremendous amount, a tremendous amount of writings. The rabbis had written them, saying that these things are the rules. This is the law. And somewhere along the line, someone said, "Well, of all this stuff, what's the most important? Of all the commandments God has given us, of all the rules, of all the things that we're supposed to do or not do, what's more important than anything else?" And they asked Jesus that question. And they asked him, what is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then verse 40, which isn't up there on the screen, says, "On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Love God and love people. There's a little more to it than that, isn't there? That's a nutshell. I'm using that phrase today. I've heard a lot of other people use it. I've seen it in church bulletins. I've seen it on church websites. I've seen it, love God, love people. Those are good words. But Jesus actually says more than that in this passage, doesn't he? Than just love God and love people. So I want to give you two goals, to love God and love people. But I'm going to start here with, let's love God more. Love God more. Now, Jesus, it's pretty clear here as he's talking to the Pharisees there that day. He's clearly teaching that there is nothing more important than loving God. This is the chief thing. This is the greatest commandment. This is the vital thing. This is what's more important than anything else. Loving God. And not just loving God a little bit. Hey, do you love God? Yeah, I love God. Not just loving God some. And get this, not even just loving God a lot. No, he says the great commandment is to love God with all of your heart. All of your heart. And all of your soul. And all of your mind. Wow. Now we can break that down and try to talk about what it means to love God with all your heart, why you use the word heart, and we can break it down and talk about what it means to love God with all your soul and why you use the word soul, and we can talk about, break it down and talk about what it means to love God with our minds, with all of our mind. But suffice it to say, we're to love God with everything we are. When Jesus said, love God with all your heart, love God with all your soul, love God with all your mind, he was covering all the bases. Another passage, it says he also said, love God with all your strength. He's covering all the bases, everything. He's covering everything that makes us who we are, everything of who we are. You know how we watch TV and there are some things that just stick with us. And we raised three kids and I have a memory that just won't go away. I'm not sure what kid's show it was. It was a kid's show. It might have been Jailhouse Rock or something like that. I don't know. But they were singing a song, and it was the setting was in a school, and it was a guy with a leather jacket, and he was singing about loving his girlfriend with all his heart. Except he was admitting in this song, he was teaching fractions, by the way, was the point of the song. And he broke down the other things that had a place in his heart besides his girlfriend. His leather jacket had like 12% of his heart. You know, his motorcycle had, you know, 40% of his heart. You know, it all added up. And there was a little piece, a fraction that was left of his heart for his girlfriend. For some reason, that has stuck with me. And it comes into my mind when I read Jesus said to love God with all your heart. Because there's this reality that there are lots of things and lots of people that have a piece of our heart. And we think, well, how can I give Jesus all of my heart? Don't I have to have room in my heart for my wife and for my kids and my grandkids and my Christian brothers and sisters? And you know, how can I love him with all my heart? Well, Jesus is teaching us here, and he's telling us we're to love God first, and we're to love God most. We're to love God supremely. You know, love is an amazing thing. And it is we can love so many and love so much. To love God with all our heart and with all our soul and all our mind means we're to love God more than we love anything or anyone else. We're to love God first and we're to love God most. We love God because He first loved us. That's Bible. The Bible says that He manifested His love for us in that while we were yet sinners and without strength or power to do anything about our sin, Jesus died for us, and so we love Him. Now, last week, I ran across an article by a guy named John Bloom. I don't know anything about this guy. He's associated with Desiring God Ministry. His name's John Bloom, and I ran across this, and he was writing about the Great Commandments, and he said this. This is his words. He's talking about himself. It is a quote. John Bloom. If I ever thought I was a pretty good person, these commandments destroy that delusion. The commandment to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, says that whenever I'm thinking about, man, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good guy. I've got it all together. I know God and I love God and I've got it all. He says, these commandments destroy the delusion that I'm a good person. He went on talking about that. Listen closely to what he says. I have never once kept even the first clause of the foremost commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, this guy is a minister. He's involved in a Christian ministry. He's writing a Christian blog. He's imparting, he's teaching the Word of God to people. And he admits, never in my life. I have never once kept even the first clause of this foremost commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. He goes on, I'm quoting him, at the very best moments of my life, when my affections for God have been the highest and my devotion the strongest, my heart has been polluted with the indwelling sin of selfishness, and I am rarely at my highest and my strongest. Here's the admission of a Christian teacher about how difficult it is to be obedient to this command to love God with all our heart. And that difficulty is rooted in the human nature that we have to be selfish and to think of ourselves first.
to want things, to covet things, to want experiences and material possessions and relationships, and to want things not for the goodness of the things or for the God-glorifying ability of those things or those people, but I just want them. I think my life would be easier. I think my life would be better. I think my life would be something more than it is right now if I just had these things or these relationships or these people. So he's saying, I've never kept this commandment. Can we agree this morning that not a single one of us in this room love God with all of our heart or with all our soul or with all our mind? Can we agree on that? Now, as we're thinking about that, let me ask you this question. What's the purpose of the law? These two statements, they said, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. These two things are the greatest commandments. And the entire law and all the prophets rest on these two things. So we're talking about the law here. And we ask, so what's the purpose of the law? Well, it's not to save us. The purpose of the law is not to save us. We do not enter into a relationship with God because we keep the law. We do not get into right relationship with God by keeping the law. The Bible clearly says that none of us is saved by keeping the law. In fact, it teaches us none of us ever has or even can keep the entire law. When it comes to the law, we're all failures. We've all broken it. And even if we're right now today getting this part of the law right, there's a part of it over here that we've messed up and we've never really confessed and we still are having issues with. We can't keep the law. No, the purpose of the law is to teach us that we can never be good enough in and of ourselves, of our own ability, of our own strength, out of our own heart and out of our own mind and out of our own soul. We will never be good enough. In fact, the purpose of the law is to show us we need a Savior. The purpose of the law is to show us we need a Redeemer. The purpose of the law is to teach us we need Jesus, the only one who lived and kept the law in all its entirety and never sinned. We need him. We need what he did for us on the cross. We need what he did for us in the resurrection. We need his righteousness. We need Jesus and his grace. We need Jesus. But loving God more than we love anyone or anything else, that's the goal. When we give our life to Christ and we realize we need His saving grace, and we give ourselves to Him and we repent of our sin and we confess, where I'm a sinner and I cannot do this myself. Jesus, I need you. We have taken that step. We've taken that step. And now I belong to Jesus and I want to please Him and I want to do what He wants me to do. And He said the most important thing is to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And so we've got this goal here. And we're on this journey of the Christian life of being a disciple. We're on this journey to love God supremely with all our hearts and soul and mind. And someday, when Christ comes back and we are in glory, we will arrive at that destination. And we will be before the throne. We will be in His presence. We will see and experience the fullness of the glory of God in all of its glory. And we will love Him more than anything else.
with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, because the glory of God is going to drive everything else out. Because that's how great God's glory is. Until then, we need to love God more. We need to love God more today than we loved Him yesterday. And we need to love God more tomorrow than we do today. And so we need to intentionally make this a prayer and a goal of our life. And for the year 2020, if we jointly together, we are praying, Lord, help us love You more. Help us love You more. Help me, Father, help us love the word, Your word more. Help us love the Bible more. Lord, help us love Your kingdom more. Help us even love Your authority and Your lordship over us. Help us love that more. Lord, help us love Your purpose and Your mission. And even, yes, Lord, help me love Your church more. In the year 2020, help me love You more tomorrow than I love You today. The second part of this, the second part of what He said that day here in Matthew, and the second part of this two goals for 2020, love God more and love people. Love people more like Jesus loved people. We need to love people more like Jesus loved people. Jesus said this in John 13:34. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He said, I want you to love people the way I love you. And so we're trying to set goals. We're trying to grow spiritually. And we're recognizing the goal of growing spiritually is to be more like Jesus. And so the goal is that we love God more and that we love people more like Jesus loves people. Well, here in Matthew 22, we looked at verse 39. Jesus says, love your neighbors yourself. It says nothing about loving people the way Jesus loved them. When He says, this is the second greatest commandment, love your neighbors yourself. He says, you shall love your neighbors yourself. He's telling us, He's teaching us, put the needs of your neighbors as equal to your own needs. He's not talking about some, I just get so emotional when I think about my neighbors. Every time I see my neighbors, I'm just inspired and I love them so much. I just can't wait to. That's not what it means to love your neighbors yourself. It's talking about seeing their needs and caring and having compassion and doing something for them. And maybe even doing something for them sometimes even when they don't need anything. Loving neighbor as yourself is about loving them by being good to them and helping them. Put the needs of your neighbors equal to your own needs. And that's a high standard. It's a very high standard, but we're called to it. It's part of this journey that we're on. I've read this many times before, but again, I was reading it this week as I'm reading, just thinking about this message. And actually, I read this in just some of my devotions. It had nothing to do with this, but I ran across this and it really jumped out at me. And you know these words, you've read the scripture before. It's from Luke chapter 6, I think. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And then Jesus keeps talking. He says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Love your neighbor and love your enemies. It's a pretty high standard. We're living in a country right now where, man, we've got enemies everywhere. Enemies are all around us. We're worrying about a war possibly breaking out with another country who has declared themselves our enemy, and our government has acted against them, and there's a lot of hate involved there. There's a lot of enemy stuff going on there. We just saw last week that video that from the live stream of a church service where a man in the church service stood up and pulled a shotgun out from underneath his coat and started shooting people. And somebody in the church put an end to that very quickly with their own gun. And who knows how many lives they saved. But we're living, and you know, we're saying, you know, we need guns in our church to protect us. And people are coming into churches and killing people. And by the way, acts of violence against churches and Christians are real close to the top of the list of acts of violence that happen. And by the way, Baptist churches are one of them. They're a target more than any other. Any other church. It's a lot of hate. And there's a lot of enemies. And we're in this political thing with our government in this impeachment thing, and there's a lot of hate. And there's a lot of enemies. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Wow. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to love your enemies. Love your neighbors as yourself. Love your enemies. And then we read in what Jesus said in John 13, telling us to love each other the way He loves us. And that's an even higher standard than loving our neighbors as ourselves. And that's an even higher standard than loving our enemies. Because Jesus loved us so much, He laid His life down for us on the cross. So just like with loving God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, can we all agree that we're not there yet? We need to love people more than we do today. We need to love people more like Jesus loved people. We need to love our neighbors more and not be as apathetic about them as we often are. And we need to really care about whether they know Christ or not. And we need to really care if they're going through a tough time, if they've lost a spouse, if they've gone through a divorce, if they're having trouble with their kids, if they've got financial issues, if they've lost a job, if somebody in the family is sick. And, you know, there are so many things that are going on in our communities. And we get tunnel vision. Because sometimes it's just too hard to care about everybody. But we need to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we need to love them more than we do. And we need to love these enemies. And how much would change? I can't help but think, what if when that man that walked into that church with that gun under his coat, what if somebody had loved him more before it happened? Can we all agree that we need, that we're not there yet, and we need to love more? We need to love people more. Not as though we've already attained, but to press on to the high calling of Jesus Christ. Again, ask God to help you love people more, to be intentional. to look for some way to show the love of Jesus to somebody today, show the love of Jesus to somebody this week, to go out of your way to love somebody, to help somebody, to encourage somebody, to lift somebody up, to share the gospel with somebody. We need to stop being selfish and stop wanting our own way and start by loving God more and loving others more. Let's follow Jesus in the year 2020 by growing in our love for God and for others. Heavenly Father, may we just be overwhelmed, Father, by how much you love us. And Lord, as we come here before this altar today and we admit we don't love you as much as Jesus said we should. And we come here before this altar today and we admit we don't love our neighbors as much as Jesus said we should. And we don't love our enemies. And we sure really aren't willing to lay our lives down for each other the way Jesus did for us. Lord, we admit we're not who you've called us to become, to be on the way to becoming anyway. And yet, Lord, you love us so much. Lord, may we just be overwhelmed by the goodness and the grace of your love. And Lord, just move our hearts this morning. May it become our heart's desire to just glorify you in this coming year and to grow in our love for you and to become more like Christ and loving other people. Lord, I want to pray for that person who's here today. They don't know you. They've not trusted you. They've heard that you died for them on the cross. They've heard that they're a sinner. But Lord, they've never been able to just give up and give themselves to you. Lord, I just pray that this morning they would just be overwhelmed by your love and your grace. That your Holy Spirit would just make them so aware of how much you love them and how much you've given for them. And Lord, that today they would just let go and they would come and repent and give their life to you and become a new born-again child of God. Lord, just help each of us to reflect upon who we are and where we're at in this journey of following you. And Lord, help us love you more and help us love people the way Jesus loves them. We ask these things.